The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.
They're holding their breath in champagne. Don't let you know. Peters on the roll.
All right, man, let's get into these into our predictions for Saturday. Like we kind of mentioned off air a little bit. The quarterback is definitely kind of the biggest question mark coming into this game. It sounds like Isaiah Williams and Taz Nicholson will be ready to go, according to Brett Bielema earlier this week, which obviously is a huge help. But obviously, you know, quarterback is kind of the status looming over this game. And I think, Alex, you'd agree with me on this. It changes how we would preview and predict it. So let's kind of start there. Who do you think will be starting a quarterback on Saturday?
I am pretty sure it's going to be I have a feeling it's Art Sikalski. You know, I think there's like a little bit of me that would say fully Art Sikalski, but then there's that little bit of me that knows, that Brett Bielema knows, that this will be a very good crowd. It's homecoming. You know, you had a great turnout last week, you know, relative to what Illinois usually brings in. And I think you're definitely going to bring about the same, if not, you know, a little bit more than last week, I feel like, personally. So, especially with homecoming, I'm not too sure what the weather's going to be like, but with that in mind, there's an opportunity to capitalize. There's an opportunity to clinch a bowl game in front of, you know, one of your bigger crowds. So, I do know Brett Bielema will, you know, If he has the chance to take a risk, I think he will take it, but it's going to be a very calculated risk, if that makes sense. You know, we'll see if Josh McCray comes back, given that there is a 2-week, you know, little, or like a week hiatus. I think McCray will probably sit, but we'll see. I do think it's going to be Sikalski, long story short.
Yeah, I agree with you, though I'm of the opinion that I wouldn't be shocked if it was DeVito. I've been kind of writing articles all week with Art Sikalski kind of in mind. And if anybody that's listening to this has read the article that I posted yesterday, kind of charting like what the path to victory looks like with Sikalski at quarterback. Because while I think it's more of a 50-50 coin flip slash maybe the edge to Minnesota if Sikalski plays, I don't think you're totally out of it. I still think the game's pretty close. And it's really going to come down to a few things for me. You know, the idea of Art Sikalski as a backup quarterback, I think, is a good one. You know, kind of like this game manager QB who can make the occasional really good throw, but can get the offense organized and run the plays well. And it looks smoothish. But the problem is, as we saw against Iowa, if he's not put in the right position to succeed, he kind of plays not within himself. And he throws an interception at the 3-yard line. He, instead of sliding down on the quarterback draw, almost, you know, loses the game for Illinois with that fumble. So the thing I'll be looking for with Sikalski at quarterback on Saturday is just, you know, can he not make the mistake that'll crumble you and take the game away from you. You know, I don't really care if he throws you know, even two interceptions, as long as they're, you know, kind of he overthrows them and they're more like glorified punts than like potential pick sixes. You know, those you can live with because your defense is good enough, but you just can't afford any back-breaking mistakes. And I don't think that DeVito really makes those, but I think Sitkowski can if he's put in the wrong position. So I'm hoping with the full week to game plan that Barry Lunney and Art Sitkowski have kind of formulated something that will work on Saturday, and something that allows Art to kind of play within himself and just be kind of a game manager, someone who gets the offense organized, who can get the ball out quick. And it would really help if Josh McCray was healthy, just because, you know, Chase Brown might need to carry the ball more than 30 times, or they're at least going to call more again than 30 runs. It'd be nice to have somebody like McCray who can pick up third and shorts with his physicality. You know, I thought Reggie Love showed quite a bit last week against Iowa, you know, being able to run kind of sideline to sideline and showing some burst. But McCray just does give you a different element to your offense. And if he's healthy, I would feel pretty decent about Sitkowski at quarterback, just because I don't know how much you're going to need him to do. But, yeah, that's all of my thoughts on Sitkowski. I think Illinois can win with him, but it definitely makes it a lot more of a challenge.
Yeah, I think, honestly, if Sitkowski is the starter, it's going to look a lot like the Penn State game last year. I don't think it's going to be 9 overtimes, obviously, but I do think kind of similar to that. You know, you're going to have to obviously rely on your defense, but then – you know, so he's going to make some plays, but then he's also going to, you know, throw a pass that's not even close to the receiver or whatnot and turn it over. Obviously, Chase Brown and the running backs are going to have to carry a heavy load, which is what, like you said, if Josh McCray is healthy, that just makes it even a little bit more easier on Chase Brown, because the guy can't carry the ball 30 times a game. You know, he's got to get some load off there, but I do think that it's going to be similar to that game, because Sitkowski played very good against Nebraska last year, but I don't think Minnesota is like Nebraska, and, no. And they're more so like a Penn State where, you know, they're solid. They're not going to beat themselves. You're going to have to take it, and, you know, you're going to have to stay neck and neck with them. And on offense, though, you know, I think – or defense, excuse me. I think that, you know, Tanner Morgan, he's like, again, 34 years old. But he's prone to turning the ball over. You know, he had those two interceptions last year, I believe, against us. Kirby Joseph, game-sealing one. You know, he had 3 against Purdue, if I look correctly. So definitely going to need some takeaways. And if you can get some special teams help, you know, I think that's all the more better. I think being at home helps the special teams, because – as you saw last week, I don't think Fabrizio Pinzon, as great as he was last week, would make those like on the road. You know, that's just a very tough ask for a walk-on kicker to do. So you need all the help you can get from the other two phases. And if Griffin or Pinzon can knock their kicks in, defense can maybe get one takeaway to set up an offensive score, whether that's a field goal or a touchdown, that's definitely going to be needed.
Yeah, I think a big thing I'm keeping my eye on for this game, it didn't matter as much last week against Iowa just because Iowa was so bad offensively, but I think Minnesota is at least competent offensively. So when Sitkowski in the offense, either they're set up in good field position from a turnover or they're driving the ball down the field, you get into the red zone, you got to find a way to turn those into touchdowns. In this game in particular, just because, you know, you weren't really worried about Iowa scoring points, let alone touchdowns. And so you have a bit more of that fear with Minnesota, even though Illinois hasn't given up a touchdown at home this year, which is just pretty insane. But you do have more of a fear that Minnesota, just given they're more competent offensively, may be able to punch one in, one or two in. And that means on offense, you're going to have to score touchdowns too. You're not going to be able to kick field goals all day. And we know, though they improved against Chattanooga and Wisconsin, that, you know, Barry Lunney seemed to have figured something out in the red zone, being able to score touchdowns. So hopefully that he can kind of formulate a game plan or something to get them into the end zone when they get down into the red zone, because I think they'll need it and they'll need to capitalize, because I think that'll be very important in this one.
And please, just no fumbles on punt returns or kick returns or anything like that, please, because, you know, you can't beat your, you can't beat yourself in these kind of situations, especially with a more mistake-prone quarterback like Art Sikowski. So, Isaiah Williams, catch your punts if you're playing. Other than that, you know, you can't beat yourself in the other phases when you got a more mistake-prone quarterback. I'm really interested to see what Bielema does to approach this game, though, because, you know, it's a big opportunity, like I'm saying. It's a bigger crowd, homecoming. But also, you have a bye week next week and some very, very winnable games. If you look at places like Northwestern, Nebraska, Purdue is definitely a winnable game in terms of the style that they play versus us. Michigan State isn't looking that great. Does he kind of, I don't want to say punt the game, but does he kind of go in with a more cautious approach and say, hey, Art, just do what you can, even though Tommy might be, you know, somewhat ready to play? Do you just kind of hold everyone back a little bit, take the bye and sort of reset so you can come back in the last part of the season and come back full force? Or how do you kind of approach it? So I feel like Bielema, if there's a chance to win, he's going to take it. I don't think he's Lovie Smith, but it's interesting to see what he's going to do.
Yeah, man, it's super fascinating because I think if they were playing a Big Ten East opponent, like Indiana, Michigan State, I think I would definitely be in that camp of, like, you know, just get to the bye week. You know, you could probably beat those teams even without those players. But if you win this game on Saturday, you hold the tiebreaker over Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin for the Big Ten West potential championship. And I think it would just be really cool and awesome if you have the tiebreaker over those three teams. So I think this game could be really important and could be, you know, one that decides a Big Ten West championship potentially. And I'm super interested to see how Brett plays it because I could see the logic in both ways, though, with potentially this game being a decider in Big Ten West standings at the end of the year and you're in it and have a chance to win it. I'd love to see us win it and do everything we can to. So I think it's super fascinating for sure. And I really hope that he goes for the throw with it, but we'll see.
Yeah. Like imagine if we win this game, you know, you're 6-1 likely. I don't know that the standings off the top of my head, but you're probably towards the top or if not the top team in the Big Ten West. Like you said, you own the tiebreaker over Minnesota. You have a chance to clinch a bowl game. For the first time, obviously, since Lovie Smith did it, but you're going to clinch a bowl game, you know, with, you know, a couple games left to go. You have a chance to really have a special season. But it's kind of like you were saying, too, there's some winnable games at the end of the schedule. If you look at Northwestern, I don't want to count my eggs before they hatch, but very, very winnable games. So what do you think? I feel like he's going to, if there's a chance to play Tommy, he's going to play it. This is kind of how I feel Brett Bielema vibes, especially with the opportunity at hand in front of a likely good enough crowd. But I think that, you know, Bielema knows that time is of the essence. You know, that's why he brought in Barry Wonnie. That's why he fired Tony Peterson. You know, that's why he gave Ryan Walters $1 million to come back to coach this defense, you know? So I really think that if Tommy is available to play, he will, even if he's not fully 110%.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because Bielema this week has talked a lot about, you know, not, and just this year with Josh McCray too, not sacrificing something long-term for, like, satisfaction in the short-term. And I'm really – this is just the most complicated it's been probably for him, trying to figure out, okay, if I bring Tommy back and the ankle gets worse, then, you know, that makes it real hard for our season, you know, the rest of the year. If you bring back Josh McCray too early, well, and he gets hurt again, then, you know, you're kind of stuck there too. So I think it's super interesting. I honestly, Brett's just very good at this, like, not revealing anything until, like, the time the game starts.
He'll make the right choice. I know that.
Yeah, I agree too. Yeah. If Tommy's not playing, you know, I trust Bielema in that decision, and that Art's who we're gonna roll with. And if DeVito plays, I trust that they think he's healthy enough to play, and that he's not putting him in any danger by being out there. So, Yeah, I think, you know, quarterback, obviously the biggest storyline. They're also playing the number one quarterback in the country, according to PFF, Tanner Morgan.
He's also like 40 years old. So yeah. He's like the Ethan Happ of college football, basically. Yeah, it's like, how long have you been here?
It's super interesting. I think Minnesota's offense, you know, they obviously have their stud running back, Ibrahim back, which is you know, he missed a Purdue game. You know, Minnesota obviously lost that, 20 to 10 or whatever. And I think it'll be interesting to see how Illinois stops the run. They've been so good the last couple of weeks, you know, holding Wisconsin to 2 rushing yards, holding Iowa to 50. You know, and those teams are very run heavy. And, you know, I trust Newton and Randolph and Avery and those guys up front to kind of stop the run a little bit, and linebackers and support. At this point, I don't really care how good your running back is. It just feels like, you know, our defense is going to step up to that challenge and make you throw the football. And, you know, Minnesota has a tight end that's 6'7", like 270 or something like that. And Spanford, I think is his name, Brevin Spanford, something like that. And we saw against Iowa, tight ends really gave Illinois issues, you know, in the first quarter, and then Walters and his crew kind of adjusted. But it'll be interesting to see if Kendall Smith is in a lot of man coverage against that tight end, if it's Sidney Brown, if it's a rotation like it was against Iowa. I think it'll be super interesting. And I hope that, you know, Minnesota just forgets that they have a 6'7" tight end and don't throw to him, which I've heard from other Minnesota people that that's a thing that's tended to happen this year. And I hope that's the case. And that's really my biggest concern, I think, defensively, is just that matchup with a tight end who's, you know, bigger, faster, and has really good hands. So I think that's the one defensive matchup that I'm worried about. You know, otherwise I trust Ryan Walters' unit like completely. And even if they get, you know, like we saw against Wisconsin, even if they score a touchdown early, I trust Walters and his crew to kind of make the adjustments to keep it locked down the rest of the game.
Yeah, totally agree with you there. Let's kind of wrap up, since, you know, the Bears game is about to start and I'm about to waste about an hour and a half of my life. what's your final prediction, and do you think it'll be a higher scoring game than last week?
Yeah, so I'm going to make this prediction assuming that the starting quarterback is Art Sitkowski and not Tommy DeVito. If I hear otherwise, that's great. But for now, that's how I'm going to predict this game. And I really do think it's a coin flip in my head, and it's really bothering me that this is my prediction. But at the moment, I think the final score is going to be Minnesota 17, Illinois 16, a 1-point loss. And I think it'll be decided.
You're just asking to cry, basically.
Yeah, it'll be decided by Illinois' ability to convert touchdowns in the red zone. And in my 17-16 score, I have Minnesota scoring on a pick six as well. So that's
you believe in
art. Where I'm at right now with the predictions. And, you know, if they convert that red zone opportunity I talked about into a touchdown, then, you know, they win the game. And I think that'll be the difference.
Man, that's a high-scoring game for Illinois here.
Yeah, well, you throw their pick six in for Minnesota, and that really inflates
it. Yeah, I'm also going to go with the notion that Art Sikowski will be the quarterback for the Fighting Illini this week. I'm going to go bold here, and I've always gotten bitten in the butt whenever this has happened. I'm going to go Illinois 14, Minnesota 13.
So do you think Illinois is going to score 4 field goals and a safety? Or do you think they're scoring 2 touchdowns?
Possibly, honestly. I think the defense will get 1 touchdown, and then – okay, no. I think the defense will get 1 takeaway that leads them to a touchdown offensively, and then I think, you know, naturally Chase Brown will do something. And Art always has this one, like, nice throw – to like a deep ball to like one of the receivers. It's never Isaiah Williams. It's always like last year it was Deuce Span like 3 times. I think Brian Hightower was last week, but he's going to hit someone on the deep ball. Chase Brown is going to punch that bad boy in. I think Illinois will give up a touchdown at home. I think that'll probably happen in the first half and limits Minnesota to just two field goals from there. That's my feeling. Wait. Illinois 14, Minnesota 13. Well, obviously, if Tommy DeVito is there, that changes a lot, as it does with a lot of things. But to be honest, I don't think it's going to happen. So,
I love your confidence, prediction. Alex. I hope you're correct.
I got the Iowa one right.
You did
at the beginning of the season. I called that.
You did. I just posted my season predictions for the rest of the year, like how Illinois will finish, and I still have them going 9-3. So like, even if they lose this game, like I'm not like super down. Like I think it can still be a special year. I think they can still win the Big Ten West. But I just, you know, think it'll be close, and I think there'll be a couple plays that will stand out as ones that decide it. But we'll see, man. Hoping for a W, obviously.
And, yes, sir. And can you give me a Bears prediction?
I think because I have Justin Fields and David Montgomery in fantasy tonight, that the Bears are going to win 46-3. Because I just
all right.
And but no, I think they'll win tonight. They looked really good against the Vikings, even though they lost. But
yeah, and then how about a Liverpool Man City one?
Well, Liverpool's going to give up the first goal for sure. I don't know what will happen from there, but if we know anything about Liverpool by now, it's that they always give up the first goal. So I know they'll at least go down 1-0. We'll see what happens after that.
I love your tweets that come out during the game where it's like, burn it all down.
Yeah, it's, you know, they went down 1-0 to Rangers in the Champions League, and then Salah like scored the fastest hat trick in Champions League history. And it's just like, why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we have to go down 1-0? It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's the catalyst, you know.
But, yeah.
Yeah, excited, man.
Yeah. It'll be a good game Saturday. You know, hope everyone who's listening can make their way to it. If you haven't been to a game yet this year, it should be a cool atmosphere. And we'll be back at some time this weekend to kind of break down, hopefully, an Illini win over Minnesota. That would be great. Everybody, y'all have a safe and great evening watching the Bears, whatever you might be doing. And we'll catch you next time. The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.